Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
And often one of our goals in life is to live a painless life. You're going to have big troubles. We live in a society that tells us that should be your goal. We live with advertisements that say everything should be painless, no discomforts, a life without suffering. You want shape, cut abs, just get this electronic jiggler that just jiggles your abdomen. No pain, no stress, no exercise. Just sit at your office and answer phones like this while it's gone.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. No one enjoys pain. Wouldn't it be great if we could live a pain-free life? Well, today Pastor Wayne is going to help us understand how important pain is in our development. Without it, we'd be in real trouble. So if you're going through a painful situation in your life, take courage. The doctor is in the house. Here he is, Dr. Wayne Cordero, with a message entitled, Why Does Life Have to Hurt So Much?
Well, it should hurt. Because you see, that's sort of like sensors that God puts inside of you. And when something is going wrong, there's that pain. And it's just telling you, it's God's way of saying something needs to be reconciled. Something needs to be resolved. If you didn't have those sensors, then you would never right a wrong. You would never make things correct. You would let things go and go and go, and then you'd have no feelings until it turns to anarchy. No, it's supposed to hurt because we love each other deeply. I love my children or my wife or the family or this church. And when things don't go right, it should pain me. That's because we care deeply. It's called compassion. If you don't hurt, then something's wrong. When your brother dies, so big deal. I get his room. Something's wrong. Isn't that right? You see, so God helped us to understand that that's a part of living. In his book, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, Philip Yancey, along with Dr. Paul Brand, who is a leprosy or Hansen's disease doctor, tells a story of how the people who have Hansen's disease, it's a disease of the nerves, and the nerves die. When the nerves die, it ruins circulation, one thing after another, until it rots with gangrene parts of your body. And we know much about that because of Kalaupapa and its history. Well, Dr. Paul Brand has a daughter on the Big Island, and so he would visit somewhat often, so I got to talk with him and discuss some of these things. He was a surgeon general and worked out of Carville, Louisiana with Hansen's disease patients. And I said, well, what is this Hansen's disease? He says, you see, your nerves die, so you could actually have a broken bone in your hand and not realize it's broken because there's no suffering, no pain, and you keep using it, and what it's doing is it's crushing the ends of your bone. When it should pain you so that you'd stop, you keep using it. You could actually have a nail at the bottom of your foot, and you keep walking until it just destroys the inside of your foot, this nail being stuck in there because you have no feeling, no sensation. And he says, and that's what destroys people. So when we work with these Hansen's disease patients, when they come back from a day of work or whatever, we actually have to have them stand in front of an infrared scope so that we can see any heat on their bodies, which would somehow say or symptomize that there's a problem there. And if there's an increased amount of heat, then it might suggest there's an injury, and then we have to go check it out because there's no nerves. He said, I was asking one of the Hansen's disease patients, what would you like this year for Christmas? And you know what he said? I want to feel pain because I cannot feel pain. And it's like a prison. And I thought, isn't that something? They want to feel pain and we want to be painless. You see, it's like sensors in our body and in our relationships. And God is saying, when there's pain, something needs to be resolved. And so you catch it. I tell you, when there's no pain and you don't feel any suffering for anybody, I really question your compassion. It's strange when someone doesn't feel anything. I was watching with Abby, our daughter, this movie called Mr. Deeds. Have any of you seen this? Yeah, Adam Sandler plays this crazy guy that's like fictitious. I mean, he's out in Na-Na Land and he's got a leg that has zero pain to it. So he invites his friends to run their car over it and, you know, jump on it. And I thought, you're sick. If there's no pain on something, something's wrong. And it was just, I'd like to just kind of define it for you and example it for you, and try to tell it to you. So, but I'd rather, you want to see a clip of it? This is kind of sick though, is that all right? Take a look at this, Adam Sandler, Mr. Deeds. He's with his butler.
Go ahead, jump on it.
I would really rather not, sir.
Oh, please, please jump on my foot. No! Yeah, I didn't feel that.
What else you got? Hey, get that fireplace poker right there and just whack my foot.
Do I absolutely have to?
It's gonna be fun. Just grab it. All my friends do this. Come on.
Go ahead, give it a whack.
Oh. Nothing.
Really?
Isn't that sick? Didn't feel that. Isn't that awesome? Go ahead. Nothing. Yeah. I know you're starting to like it, aren't you?
Chop that wood.
Yeah, that's it.
Ow! You're sick! You're sick! Why would you do that to me? I'm just kidding you, pal.
You have me going there.
That's sick. You see, sometimes we think that's how we want life to be. A Mr. Deeds life. And that's sick. No, we love deeply. You see, often, would you write number two? Often we have the wrong goal. The wrong goal in life. You see, our goal in life is to live on this revolving globe painlessly. A Mr. Deeds kind of life. And that's wrong. It's crazy. It's a wrong goal. The goal cannot be to live a painless life. And if you think that that's our goal, then the very foundation of what you're believing is wrong. Your perspective is wrong. We'll get angry at anybody that causes any waves in our life because we got the wrong goal. Anyone that disagrees, because my goal is to have a painless life, no stress. But if your very basic philosophy in life is wrong, then everything else will go gabongers. For example, there's a scientific theorem that says if your basic premise is off, then every subsequent conclusion you come to thereafter will also be off. Which means if you think that 2 + 2 = 1, then every mathematical answer you come to that factors in that belief will be way off. And that's why the scripture says this in Psalm 11:3. Let's read it. Ready? Go. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Because even if you're trying to be righteous, if your premise is wrong, everything is wrong. And often one of our goals in life is to live a painless life. You're going to have big troubles. Big troubles. But the problem is we live in a society that tells us that should be your goal. We live with advertisements that say everything should be painless, no discomforts, a life without suffering. You want shaped, cut abs? Just get this electronic jiggler that just jiggles your abdomen. No pain, no stress, no exercise. Just sit at your office and answer phones like this while it's going. What is that? Sick. You see, if you're alive, that's going to be a part of life because we love deeply and we're committed to one another deeply. How many people don't want the experience of life? They want to just have a virtual life. That's why in America, drugs are so prolific, because we want to just deaden ourselves to the experience of life. And we think that we want to do that till we're dead. And you will, if you keep that up. But we just think we just take more drugs, because I want a painless life. I don't want any stress. I want anything. Just no, none of that stuff. I got a better way. What? Just have someone shoot you in the head. Because then you'll be painless. But if you want to experience life and you want to know what life really is with relationships and compassion, commitments, then understand that's a part of it. It was in 1950 when the great blockbuster South Pacific hit the New York musical stage. Rodgers and Hammerstein played the music. Enzio Penza, which is a European heartthrob, would sing that song, "Some Enchanted Moment, Evening," whatever it was, "You Will Meet a Stranger." And so all these people would come and see this musical. I mean, it was a sellout. However, there are some people that would come from far away suburbs, the countrysides, take a day or so to get in. What they didn't know is First of all, they would tell their friends, we're going to get some culture. We're going to go into New York and we're going to see South Pacific. Really? Yes. Oh, they were the envy of their town. But what they didn't know is when they would arrive in New York, it would be sold out for weeks. They wouldn't be able to even get in and see the production. And there, oh, they would say, how could I go back home and tell people we've come this far and we didn't even see the musical? Oh, no, oh, no. So here's what some innovative entrepreneurs did. They went around and found all of these torn stubs of the tickets that people would throw in the ground. They collected all of these used stubs and got used old programs that they found in trash cans. And then they would sell used stubs and old programs to these people that had come such a long way so that they could go back and tell everybody, look the program, look the stubs, it was wonderful, some enchanted evening. And all their friends would go, oh, wow. So sure enough, they made money hand over fist. And these people bought these used stubs and used programs and went back to their hometowns in the country. And people would say, how was it? How was it? Well, here's the stub. Here's the program. Some enchanted evening. Ooh, you see, the funny thing was they had the ticket stubs. They had the programs. They had everything except the experience of it. And how that is often with us. We want everything, but we don't want to experience it. Oh, you shortchanged yourself. So, well, what should our goal be? Our goal should never be to live a painless life on this revolving globe. But Jesus came to give us hope beyond this revolving globe, a greater cause than just being comfortable till we die, a greater cause to be a part of His plan, to be a part of His dream, to understand that Jesus came to give people hope beyond this lifetime, to give them not just a temporary fix, but life eternal. And when you begin to understand that God has so much more for you and that you don't live just for yourself, but for the many that have unanswered questions that we can lead to the throne of God and help them, oh, then you have a cause much greater than this globe, much grander. And when that takes place, you've got a greater cause, then what happens is this life, the pain in this life is secondary when you have a greater cause. But when this is your only cause, then it gets really tough. For example, let's say my wife, Anna, we're climbing, going on a hike. We're climbing up the Ko'olau's. We get to the right, almost to the top. After struggling our way up, all of a sudden her hat, whoosh, gets blown away. And it goes down and settles right next to the cliff. She says, honey, go back down over there and get my hat. I said, oh, hon, just get another, buy another one. No, 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 I bought that one at Ross. Oh, hon, I don't want to go down there because when I slide down, the branches slap me in the face and stuff. It's painful, suffering, painful. She says, if you love me... Oh, no. So I go down. Everything. Oh, sword. It's, oh, man, hot. Finally, I retrieve the hat. I'm grumbling and bemoaning this all the way back up till she gets it. Now, let's say, on the other hand, it's one of our little children when they were babies in the backpack. And as we got up to the top, all of a sudden, one of the kids falls out. Boom, 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 goes down. Much bigger cause. I'm not going to, you know, my wife's, look, baby. I'm not going to say, just buy another one. No, because the cause is so much greater. I'll tear down there and sure those branches are slapping me, but it doesn't matter because the cause is so much greater to get this child before it goes over the edge. You see, then pain or suffering or some minor scratches, it's nothing compared to the cause. You see, you raise the cause, you diminish the pain. You lower the cause, you increase pain. And you know why a lot of people struggle with so much pain is because they don't have a cause beyond this life. And Jesus came not to bring another religion, came to bring a relationship and a greater cause. And then we understand, because we love deeply and there's compassion. Sure, it's going to be a part of life, but you know what? It's okay. So our goal has to be beyond this. Well, you say, well, Wayne, if, okay, God gives us a greater cause, yet there's still pain in this world. Do we still have to become a part of it? Mm-hmm. Why? Would you write a number three? Because we live in a world of sin. We live in a world of sin where everyone, many have chosen to do their own thing in rejection to God's. And they make this their kingdom, this their place to have a painless world. We live in a world of sin. That's why the Lord says, but it's not about you. Listen, there's a greater cause. Let's read the first verse. Ready? Go. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of crooked and perverse people. Did you know that you live in a world filled with crooked and perverse people? Don't look to your left or to your right. Just look straight ahead. But we actually do. We live in a world where people's only goal is to get you out of their face so they can have it all. They could care less about anybody else. We just live that way because there's people whose hearts are yet to be transformed. They've tried religion. They hate it. Well, I understand why. But they've never come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But until then, they're selfish, there's avarice, there's greed. In fact, just yesterday morning, I was leaving the office. I came out and I turned the corner and there was a guy screaming at his girlfriend on the side of the road, just yelling. And as I passed by, he slugged her and punched her. And she's half his size. And I thought, you turkey. So I whipped around. It wasn't even Thanksgiving. And I whipped around. And I thought, I pulled my truck right up to where he was, about 15 feet from him, and I put it in park. And I just watched him like this. And he saw me. I was actually going to go out and take care of him, but he was bigger than me, so I thought I'd go down. So I just put it in park and let the engine run. And I just looked at him. So I thought, you hit her one more time, and I'm going to run you over. And apologize later for my poor driving. Say, I'm so sorry. I never take driver education, but now you're going to need driver medication. And so every time she tried to get away from me, went in front of her like this, and just yelling at her. It just got so bad. The guy was so amped out that she finally broke away from him, ran in the middle of the street and started hailing down cars just to jump in a car to get away from this guy. Well, finally, he jumped in his pickup, slammed the door, and took off and waited down in the corner. I could see him, so I drove up, and I said, are you all right? She was crying. She said, yeah. I said, you need to stay away from him. Oh, she said, he does that all the time. I said, no. I didn't ask how many times he does this. I said, stay away from him. Oh, he does this all the time. I said, read my lips. Stay away from him. He's not going to do you any good. And I thought, oh, we live in such a world, not only of people of anger, but people who don't even know the answer to anger, who can't even break away from it. I said, oh God, you put us in a world of hurt, haven't you? Yeah, the Lord says, and that's why I want you to live as people who are lights in the world, because there's so many of my children that need help. Why, God? Because I've given everybody free will, the Lord said, and we have stewarded it poorly. And so God is saying, will you go? And will you help them? But Lord, I said, people need peace. Yeah. There's so many questions. And then I began to understand that peace doesn't come when you get your questions answered. Mm-mm. Let me tell you the source of peace. Let's read the final verse. Ready? Go. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Bible says, these things I've spoken to you so that where you'll get peace? In me. Would you circle that? In me. You see, the peace that we find is in a person, not an answer to a problem. And when I open my heart and give God my heart, peace fills me so I don't have the appetite for the world, for dead toads. His peace fills me. And you know, as I walk with Him, in a relationship with the Lord, he sees my heart is ready and he starts giving me answers. And so then I begin to understand the ways of God. But that only comes after I have peace in my heart. You will never be satisfied if you have a heart without peace. Doesn't matter how many answers you get. Your heart will not be at peace. But when you receive the Prince of Peace and say, Lord, I so need forgiveness from my sin, times I've changed my direction and rejected yours. Lord, forgive me for that sin. Give me a way back home. Lord, fill me with your peace so that I don't have wrongful appetites. And then the Lord says, now let me show you all of the things that you've ever wondered about. But prior to that, you'll need a heart of peace, because until you have that, answers will not fill your heart. You'll just be more critical of others. I thought, that's it. That's what it means to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Prince of Peace. That's it, so that you can walk with him, and then he begins to show you things. And you see, so as you receive the Lord in your heart, will there be times of pain still? Oh, yeah, because God's working on us. Let me illustrate that with a final story. The city is Florence, Italy. In that Italian city was a huge, colossal block of marble that was etched out of the side of a hill. Looked like it was only fit to be the raw materials for some colossal statue. Sculptors tried their hand at it, to sculpture it into different things. They hewed and they hacked and they chipped away. One after another tried, but then after their attempts, it just seemed like now it was just left hopelessly disfigured. Then someone suggested Michelangelo. Ask him. They did, and he consented. And the very first thing he did was he built this huge building over this colossal piece of marble. Disappeared into it, not just for months, but years. Would come and go, but no one knew what he was carving. Until one day, he flung the doors open, and before their eyes, instead of a shapeless, meaningless, disfigured block, was now the magnificent statue of David. One of the glories of the world today. And I thought, you know, that's exactly how Christ, the maker of our heart, that's how he does it with us. He takes defeated, disfigured lives and he refashions them into the image that he has for them. Now questions will start popping up. Will it take long? Will it involve the chisel and the hammer if he works on me? Will there be times that I'd rather God just leave me alone? Leave me to my disfigurement? Leave me with my unconfronted bitterness, my unbridled ambition, maybe my hypersensitivity, my uncleanness? Will there be times I'd rather him just leave me less shaped? Would there be times that I'd rather he be less demanding? Probably. But you know, if that marble that was now David, if that marble could somehow think or talk, do you think after having seen its shapeless, disfigured self and then seeing itself as now David, do you think that marble would regret the process? Do you think it would rather go back and have all the whole process all undone and go back to where it was? Not on your life. And you see, that's the way it is when you allow Christ to come be a part of your heart. When you give him your life and your heart and he begins to change you from the inside out, will there be times where it'll be a little tough? Absolutely. But you know, one day all of us will turn around and we'll see what God has done to our lives. And there would not be a chance where I'd want all that process undone. Oh no. Will it require the chisel and the hammer? But you know what? I trust him. I trust him who is the artist. I trust him who is the maker of our hearts and the maker of our souls. I trust him. And because of that, I might not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and that's good enough for me.
I believe, I'll obey. I receive all of the joy you have for me. Where you lead me, I will go. I entrust my life to you. I entrust my life. Receive all of the joy you have for me. Where you lead me, I will go. I entrust my life to you. I entrust my life to you. I entrust my life.
God bless you and aloha.